Buckle up. The Three Wide Podcast is on the air. In-depth analysis between the three biggest divisions in NASCAR. The Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Cup Series. And now, the green flag flies from the Little Apple in Manhattan, Kansas. Podcasting to the world. It's the Three Wide Podcast with EG3. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
Ladies and gentlemen, y'all know what time it is, folks. It is the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3, Eddie Greer III, here with you guys again, coming at you on this Sunday race day, folks. Once again, in the Cup Series of 3Wide Podcast with EG3, all about the Cable World Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and of course the NASCAR Cup Series of previous divisions. In all of motorsports, folks. So today, this might feel like a ranting show, but boy, this sport has gone in the wrong direction here. A lot more coming on this edition of the podcast, folks. Before I get into all that, of course, the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. You can find it wherever you get your podcast, folks. Whether that's on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio. We are on also Spotify, Audio Boom, and a few more other podcasting platforms as well. The 3Wide NASCAR Podcast winding down, folks, here to the end of the season. I've been doing a whole lot of recording on my other podcast. So, excuse me. But yes, this is still a 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 here. Recording on the first Sunday of October. Can you believe it, folks? October 2nd, 2022. And I'm recording this on the morning of race day of the Cup Series. The second race of the 2022 postseason in NASCAR Cup Series, which no playoff driver has not won yet in the playoffs. And that might definitely continue today with the bleep show, which is Talladega, or I can say the shit show of Talladega. And this thing about this safety has been something else. This is episode 316 of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 as that continues there on that front, folks. But yes, first things first, before I get into all the heavy action, we do need to be thinking about those who've been deeply impacted, or pretty much everyone has been impacted by Hurricane Ian, which made its way through the middle of Florida, up the coast, up the northern coast, the east coast of Florida, and now yesterday or Friday or whatever it is, it's been weird, but either way, during the latter part of the week, hit Florida, northern part of, well, started down south, then worked its way up northeast. And then it just carried its momentum to the Carolinas. I don't know where it's at now where I'm recording this podcast, but we definitely need to be thinking about those who have definitely been affected. I know I have, from a different point of view, me being a resident of Florida for more than 15 years and being up here now in Manhattan, Kansas, and seeing all those pictures, including Daytona Super Speedway, halfway underwater. It's just riveting to a fact that we sometimes take things for granted. And yeah, a lot of those pictures that I saw, I mean, I have a lot of Florida friends down there in the state, all around the state, including one AJ from the One Lug TV YouTube channel, which was the Loose Lugs podcast, who I've had on the show multiple times on this show. Said they are doing okay, or okay. Some have messaged and said, you know, we lost power and all that, but you know, we're still fine. And there's others that, you know, have things underwater, things like that. And there's pictures all over the place, particularly southern Florida, Fort Myers, Tampa, and obviously Chiefs and Bucks. They're going to be going on tonight as well. Well, I'm not going to be watching that game, but got another game to watch tonight. But yeah, you see what I'm saying there. So definitely, I wanted to start a show. I would be remiss if I left this part out of the podcast here today for you guys as well. So we need to be thinking about them throughout. This podcast won't go up until around lunchtime somewhere today, as I'm recording this early in the morning. So yeah, definitely we need to be keeping the folks affected from there as well. Keep them in your prayers. That is for sure. Can't go any mountain remiss about saying that, because, I've been not to that extent. Lucky for me, I call myself lucky because I've been down there, lived down there for majority of my life. And yes, I've waited out storms, hurricanes, but nothing like that. Definitely nothing like that. So yeah, so we need to be thinking about those folks for sure throughout next week as they try to, slowly but surely get themselves back up the mat. Well, they're off back on the mat because they're Floridians, man. They're tough sons of guns, man, down there. I still consider myself one, even though I've been up here in the Midwest for almost second to longest I've been in a state. So definitely, it's being in Kansas, getting up there actually. So that might surpass being living in Florida soon, very soon. But yeah, we need to be keeping them in their prayers at this very time. Boy, oh boy, where do I start, folks? I have no idea. I can go two ways. Obviously the shit show in Texas. Let's just call it what it is, man. I'm so sick and tired of, holding back. I don't hold back on the show or on the other podcast for that matter. It's just a crap show, and it might even get worse today. And with the safety issues that have been looming on, you throw this one in here. Let's just start with the trucks. Obviously, the truck series, Ty Majeski's in the championship, 4 in a winner. I'm going to go out in front and say I did not watch these races because college football, you know what time it is, college football and all that. So for whatever reason, I have not been that deeply here in the latter part of the season. Maybe because Mark Trish Jr. is not in the postseason, that I consider that. But I still watch the Cup races with intent. But yeah, trucks and Xfinity, yeah, I've not really paid much attention to that. I have them on the tablet there. That should tell you something right there that I don't really care too much. But couple of things that came up on the radar, and I had to go back and look because K-State was playing when the truck series was going on yesterday, so I didn't watch that. And the Xfinity series was Russ rocking and rolling at Talladega as well. I was watching another football game, Big 12 game yesterday as well, right? Matt DiBenedetto, a guy that you guys should be familiar with, won the truck series race, the Chevy Silverado 250, yesterday. This race did go into overtime. Shocker. Look, that's beside the point. Matt DiBenedetto gets his first win in trucks. And has been a disappointing season for him, because I thought he was going to go down there and get a couple wins, make the playoffs. But obviously, he's with Rackley Roar Racing, and it's been a struggle for him, obviously. And yeah, I'm definitely not so now on this cat. Yes, he won the race there as well. But yeah, this has been a disappointing season for him down there. He should have been, all that Cup experience that he has over the past several years, you would have thought come down there and win races like a John Hunt Nemechek did when he decided, well, after my rookie year in Cup, nah, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to go down in the Truck Series and win races. He did that and made the playoffs and made eventually the championship 4 years ago. You thought DiBenedetto would do the same thing. Yes, it's with a lesser team, but you think he'll go down there and do it, but it did not until today. Spoiling the party for one Ben Rhodes, who was wrecking, coming to the checkered flag here along with several other cars. This was a wild, wild race. Another, and this is what you expect, man. People should not be surprised. I love the fact that, you know, I go on Twitter and see certain people say, oh, you know, that shouldn't happen. This is speedway racing. You know, this is what you expect. If you've been following the sport for a while, or even a casual fan will notice this off the bat. Other people that follow the race need to check themselves. Right there, Matt DiBenedetto wins at the line here. He was fortunate to get to the line first because Ben Rose was spinning right near the checkered flag there along with the third place car there. Ooh, and yeah, when we look at, we'll run out of the top 10 here in a moment. But yeah, coming out of this, yeah, scary news coming out of the Camaro Truck Series. Jordan Anderson truck started to go up in flames. And I didn't know. Again, I was at the K-State football game yesterday. I did not know this at the time. And I have seen, unfortunately for me, seen multiple replays of what happened there. Jordan Anderson engulfed in flint. The truck fire was absolutely insane there. And you gotta wonder what was going on in that truck. You try to get out and then hit the wall going down the backstretch. What a wild secret of events there. So, man, that's just crazy right there as well. And Jordan Anderson suffered multiple burns here. Let's see if I can pull it up here. It's probably, yeah, like I said, I'm going down here. I'm doing some double takes here. Yeah, there's a lot of bad things that happen. Not just with Jordan Anderson, but even before last weekend with all the tire stuff. But yeah, Jordan Anderson had burns, a couple of bruises, something in there as well. Not pretty at all. Just a freak situation there, unfortunately for him. There, he was airlifted to the hospital yesterday. All this is not good at all for Jordan Anderson here. But he did, in a release 10 hours ago here, in his release on Twitter, saying, let me get this out here, quote, "So grateful for all the prayers and support. Have been in some great hands with all the NASCAR and University of Alabama Birmingham nurses and doctors. No doubt God's hands was protecting me through that one scariest moment of my racing career by far. Ended up with second degree burns across my neck, face, right arm, hands, and both knees. Getting cleared to go home tonight. Doctors say everything should be healing up within a few weeks. We'll keep everyone updated on the healing process, but just thankful it wasn't any worse. My goodness." End quote. So that's Jordan Anderson there. One of the good guys in the sport for sure. He's been, obviously, he has his own team, truck, and Xfinity Series programs. It's going to be really interesting to see who he taps in that Xfinity car. Excuse me. Yeah, at the Xfinity Series race yesterday as well. So I'm going to take that back there. So, but yeah, prayers out to Jordan Anderson on that front as well. The top 10 here, real quick, from a wild race, second race of the round of 12. Yeah. Because it was a round of 10. Excuse me. Round of 10, folks. Benedetto was pushed there below the yellow line there in this race, but came back up there. Ben Rhodes did finish second there, spinning in the second spot, followed by Lord Holmes. Sit in third. Hey, let me see if I can do something better here. Had it for a second. Okay, so Brett Holmes third, Brian Priest fourth, Christian Eckes finishing the top five. Christian Eckes, I believe, is still in the playoffs there. I'm not mistaken there. Haley Deegan, Chase Purdy, Colby Howard, Parker Kligerman, Tyler Ankrum. That is your top 10 folks there. As I scan, look around the field here, Chandler Smith finished in the 14th spot. Stuart Friesen finished 20th. Your latest winner there, Ty Majeski from Bristol, who's already in the championship four. He finished in 23rd spot. John Hunter Nemechek, 24th. Grant Evinger, the worst of the playoff drivers, there in the 29th position there, heading into the final race already at Martinsville, which is going to be net later on this month there as well. Taking a look here real quick at the picture here. Let's see down here. Yeah, Grant Evinger, the biggest loser in this. Grant Evinger, dead last. He's going to have to win to get in. But everything else is a crapshoot here for that last position. Obviously, the defending champion trying to get back to Phoenix to defend his title. That in the person of Ben Rhodes, who is only three out from Christian Eckes and Stuart Friesen. John Hunter Nemechek is not that far out. John Hunter Nemechek, not that far out, folks, from it. He's only five to the bad of, yeah, of Ben Rhodes there. Sorry. This is what happens when you record early in the morning and your brain is halfway functioning. So there's that. But anyways, hey, we got to get it in on the show because Talladega is going to come here. Here pretty early around noon Central Time, a little bit after noon Central Time, somewhere around there as well, after what could have been a worse weather situation down there. Turned out to be, you want to call it luck or whatever it is with the weather. But yeah, Chandler Smith, 30 up, Zane Smith, 18 up. I didn't see where Zane Smith finished in that race, but this doesn't matter. Because he did not finish in the top 10. Ben Rhodes, 3 up. You're separated by 8 points between 4th and 7th. So, no rest for the weary. You have pretty much all month to get yourselves ready for Martinsville. Because that's the next race for this Camaro Truck Series. This season's almost over already. You got to wait a good 27 days until your next race down there. So, the Camaro Truck Series, Ty Majeski's already locked in to the championship four. Who is going to join him? I think this race is on Saturday. Yeah, October 29th. The last chance to get in. Everybody's going to get eliminated. For the exception of the rest of the championship four field. Matt DiBenedetto comes home with a checkered flag. I'm not too excited about that. Given to what has barraged this guy for the past, almost 2 years. So, Matt DiBenedetto comes out with a checkered flag at Talladega.
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
A sprint to the finish in the Xfinity Series race at Talladega. All the series at Talladega this weekend. Eddie Greer for the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 coming at you early this morning on race day, October 2nd, 2022. A few hours away from the Cup Series race. Back to the Xfinity Series race there. Noah Gregson, who made history, tying Sam Ard for winning four races in a row in any series. Of course, Noah Gregson has been on quite the roll. Did not win yesterday. It was personal AJ Allmendinger winning, and he's going on to the next round. Allmendinger at the line getting Sam Mayer. Mayer, who was lead, trying to get his first win and trying to get advanced. Remember, we're in the playoffs now in all series, including the Xfinity Series. And let me now switch my other tab to the Xfinity Series real quick. Yeah, so this is the round of 12 still. Second race of the playoffs. Second race of the playoffs for the Xfinity Series, guys. And Mayer had an opportunity to win this race. Didn't get it done. It's Allmendinger snips him at the line. And once again, this is not a surprise. College racing on plate tracks has continued, and particularly in the Xfinity Series, to dominate AJ Allmendinger. I thought for the longest time that Allmendinger won a Super Speedway race. Turns out this is his first Speedway race, Super Speedway win, after all that, given the success of this team. Because look, whether it's Justin Haley, and particularly Ross Chastain, you go down the line, Allmendinger, yeah. These Lane and Castle, these guys, college racing knows how to prepare super speedway races or cars, whatever. And Allmendinger, he has been a player in these things, right? And he this deep in this season. And if you've been following AJ Allmendinger for past several seasons over that college racing, he's just not the road race ace anymore. Yes, he has. Obviously, he's up there winning road course races, but now you're looking at him, he's running up front in a mile and a half, short tracks, and super speedways, right? Wow, big time win right there for Allmendinger, getting to the outside of Mayer to earn that victory. AJ's fourth win this year, and yeah, it's just that's the stat of the week right there, where there was one. First win on the Super Speedway track for AJ Allmendinger. Allmendinger's moving on, joining Gregson in a semifinal round as well. But Noah Gregson did finish inside the top 10. So, you know, his streak's broken. Very impressive, given to what the heck happened to him at Road America back this summer, where he caused an absolute shit show there at Road America that cost him that wreck. But yeah, that's been really the most impressive. Noah Gregson winning four in a row. How can you do that? That's really tough in any level, and he made history doing that. Unfortunately, he did not win the race there. He could have been a factor in there for sure. We've seen him be up there in multiple times, whether it's Daytona or Talladega as well, but he came a bit short yesterday on top of that as well. Sam Mayer, heartbreaks hotel for him. Couldn't hold off Allmendinger there at the end of the race there, but his career finish for him, for Sam Mayer, Landon Castle, speed of Landon Castle. So Cully Racing finishes 1-3 yesterday's race there in that doubleheader with the Truck Series in the Xfinity Series. Ryan Sieg, Josh Berry rounds up the top five there as well. Parker Clearman coming home in both races in the top 10. What a year it's been on the track for Parker Kligerman. Of course, he won at Mid-Ohio in the Truck Series a couple months ago there. He finished sixth in this race. The controversial Ty Gibbs, we'll get to that. We'll get to him later on in this podcast. Woo, I'm going to light him up. Ty Gibbs, Daniel Hemric need not finish bad. Daniel Hemric finished, eighth in there? Yep, eighth. What, Ty Gibbs, Daniel Hemric, Brandon Jones, Noah Gregson. Okay, there we go. All finishing in the top 10. So Ty Gibbs finished 7th. Daniel Hemric, 8th. Brandon Jones, 9th. Noah Gregson in the 10th spot as well. And Austin Hill, who has been Mr. Super Speedway himself all year long, led a race high 60 laps, ended up winning both stages, but did not win this race. Austin Hill is still in the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken, there as well. Again, like I said, I've checked out when it comes to trucks and Xfinity race. And again, like I said, it's probably because Mark Trent Jr., horrible luck in not him making the playoffs, mostly has something to do with that. But again, I do watch the Cup races. I do watch the Cup races, so don't worry. There's a lot. Hey, I got a lot to roast on the Cup Series here in a bit on this podcast, because this is definitely going to turn into a ranting podcast more than a recap, even though I am finishing up with the Xfinity Series here real quick. So, yeah, Gregson right in the top 10. Austin Hill finishing in the 14th spot there. So, unfortunate for him not finishing the deal there after having clearly the fastest car at Talladega yesterday there Let's see, as I open it up, Riley Hurst finished outside the top 10 in 11th. Justin Allgaier hit hard, absolutely hit hard at Texas. Boy, oh boy, I'm interested to see the standings here. Allgaier, heavy contact at Talladega, not a good finish, or Texas, not a good finish at Dega. He finished it in the 15th spot there. Jeremy Kmetz, not much better here, 20th there. And let's see, and that's about it right there as well. So now it's time to turn and look at where we stand in the Xfinity Series playoffs. This is the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3, Eddie Greer III here with you guys, episode 316 of the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. This NASCAR podcast here. Yeah, so Almendinger from colleague Noah Gregson from Junior Motorsports in right now, folks. And this field's going to be cut to 1/3 when after the Roval, right? So now, what do we have? Well, Josh Berry is still in good shape. Ty Gibbs still in good. Ty Gibbs, Austin Hill, even after all that, Josh Berry, Justin Allgaier still looking to treat, still okay, 25 up from the cutoff right now. Sam Mayer, 12 out in the final spot. Ryan Sieg sitting there, actually as a tie for that spot. How about this? Ryan Sieg, Daniel Hemric. Daniel Hemric's actually the first one out, according to my list. How about this, folks? So the defending Xfinity Series champion, one race away from getting eliminated in round one. Whew! Riley Herbst, not too far. He, Brandon Jones, it's really tight, really, between Sam Mayer from 7-Eleven down here. So Mayer's not out of the woods yet because you have guys that are 10 out, Riley Herbst and Brandon Jones. So this is why stage points, as I have said on weekly occasions on this show, come really vitally important, right? NBC, USA, I said this as well. So Dale Hamrick has been, to me, probably a more disappointing driver. Yeah, he finished top 10 yesterday, but to me, you're the defending champion. You would think that, you know, hey, I mean, by now, we're way deep in the season, and I would not, that's not going to surprise me at all, because really, he doesn't deserve the opportunity. Sorry, what it is, he doesn't deserve the opportunity to go to the next round, but laid out there, though, he's still in striking distance, trying to get in. We'll see what happens at the Roval, because the Roval is next for these guys. That's the cutoff for the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series in the respective rounds of the NASCAR postseason. And they're coming up as well. So we'll see what happens there as well. So, yep. So Almendinger, 4 wins in the year, gets it done at Dega. Meanwhile, Matt DiBenedetto finally cracks victory lane in the Cable World Truck Series yesterday. That was a doubleheader at Talladega. The Cup Series will be raving a green flag here in a few hours later on this afternoon. Chase Elliott. And when he speaks, boy, he's so brutal. But he speaks for several others. And look, actually, let me check this out real quick, actually, before touching on Chase. The Xfinity Series race yesterday was the 1,300th in series history. I saw this via Dustin Long on Twitter yesterday, and I thought to myself, well, that's another number there that should be brought up as well. And this is the other wow moment of the week here on the Throw and Ask Apocalypse EG3, right? This race was only the third time the entire field, and he put entire in all caps, entire field was running in the finish. You got to go back to 88 in Langley Speedway, April, that is, and then Michigan in 98 when the entire field finished was at of the checker flag. That is amazing. That's amazing. And given into today's NASCAR where everybody's wrecking, that's a wow stat. That's got to be impressive, really, that the Xfinity Series were running at the finish. No big ones, none of that. Can we get that in the Cup Series? Can we get that in the Cup Series? I don't think we're going to get that in Cup Series, ladies and gentlemen. You know that, Talladega. I said in the top of the show, you know, this is what it is. Dega, people do stupid stuff or make are too slow making decisions and cause the big ones. And for that to happen at Talladega, no wrecks, that's amazing. Well, let me backtrack my list. No, yeah, everyone finished. Whether now I didn't really see, I didn't hear any big ones from this race. 20 lead changes for 12 among 12 drivers in the race yesterday in the Xfinity Series. So, but for that to happen, that has to be freaking impressive there, given to what Talladega is. Yeah, back to Chase Elliott here real quick before we take our intermission break here on episode 316 of the podcast here. Quote that he said yesterday. Quote, blows me away. And the fact that, let's see down here, more on Chase Elliott here. And then he goes on later on and says, quote, I'm just disappointed we have to put ourselves in this box to begin with. As an industry, we're smarter than that. End quote there as well. And another quote here from Chase, quote, it's super surprising we allowed that to happen, but we did. And then, yeah, the conference was regressing with his car, and everybody thought this. And I said, I tweeted out, was it a couple weeks ago, that this current car that we have now, it's not new anymore. But fact of the matter is that safety has tested it, and boy, there's been some questions about it. Because look, I mean, NASCAR, they are smarter than that, but are they using their brains? Hell no, they're not using their brains at all. All this money, all this research put into it, and now the fact of the matter is, you know, scary. That was scary what we saw with Jordan Anderson there. That, you know, that in itself, that's freaky. That's a freaky accident there. I'm pretty sure they'll look at it some more on that. Well, I hope so, because the fact that there is NASCAR, and they've been lagging behind. They've been lagging behind the eight ball for really the last, since really Kurt Busch got hurt. let's just face it. Or I could probably go back to Kevin Harvick at St. Louis when he hit the wall hard there. NASCAR's struggling. They're on the struggle bus right now. And the fact that you're a million-dollar industry and you can't take the time out. And this is another L. They got a lot of L's this week or today and last week, right, with the whole situation of, you know, Kyle Larson, another Hendrick driver, by the way, saying that, you know, you need to bulldoze Texas, which I definitely agree with that because they screwed that racetrack up big time. I don't think this is the first time me saying that they messed up that racetrack. Very disappointing there. They really, and who said that, you know, it was a decent crowd out there down there in Texas. That was not shit out there down there last week. I was like a high school crowd out there for that cup race over there. That ain't no big crowd over there. Stop it. And the fact that going back to the safety issue, that's been a big problem since Kurt Busch was had to sit out. And the fact that NASCAR, I haven't read anything about, you know, hey, we're gonna check this, that, we're gonna do more research on this. No, all I heard is dead silence from NASCAR. To me, that just says something. All these drivers pleading out, begging NASCAR to look into this further, tells me that NASCAR ain't done shit in the past couple months. And yes, I told you it's going to be a ranting podcast episode of the show, and I'm getting fired up about it because that just to me, I mean, you would think you would learn a lesson with what we're seeing, fortunately with the Kurt situation, him sitting out. Since Pocono, he ain't been back in a race car. And he said, I think he spoke to the media either last week or this week at Charlotte that he wants to be back next year. And I don't have the rest of that transcript on my computer right now. But, you know, he wants to be back next year. And the fact of that matter is, what even more alarming now, a playoff driver has to sit out a race. And he's most likely not going to make it unless something wild happens. But Alex Bowman, early this week, he had Kizer-Light-Kazuptums, and he will not race today. He will not race. That's a big loss. And who's replacing him? Noah Gregson. Yeah, Noah Gregson is replacing Bowman today. And Alex Bowman is a playoff driver. He's a playoff driver. And he will not race this afternoon out in Alabama due to concussion-like symptoms. He has to sit this one out. Concussion protocol. And what is it with? We're on a roll on the bad side with concussions. Obviously, if anybody saw what happened on Thursday Night Football, that was absolutely atrocious. We've seen a lot of scary stuff, but that was even more scarily scary, putting your quarterback QB1 in that spot where he suffered a head injury the week before. I'm talking about Tua Tagovailoa of the Miami Dolphins. That in itself, they didn't need to show the replays. Amazon Prime, what the hell are you doing? Showing replay after replay. We don't need to see that. We don't need to see the replay. If you see short once, that's okay. But after that, no. You didn't need to see that. See that there. One more scary incident of the week there. Again, piled on top of Jordan Anderson's scary incident there with the fire and all that. That's something not to play with. And NASCAR, well, actually, you know what? Replay it. Amazon Prime, you need to show. Now that I say stop, but maybe NASCAR should have watched the football game the other night to see what went down. And the fact that, you know, Tua got hurt the same pure body action where he hit his back first against the Bills and then his whiplash with the head. And then Thursday night, he got slammed down by a D lineman of the Bengals. Same reaction to the body. The back hit the first, and then serious whiplash. This time, maybe worse than, well, it was worse because the Bills, he just fell backwards and he usually fell victim to his contact there. But on Thursday night, right, he, my goodness, he got slammed down by Bengals D lineman for a sack, and then the same active body motion slowed in. Boy, that did not look good. Hands up in the air, all the other stuff there. I don't need to say it because look, that is the main thing. That NASCAR, that should draw your attention there. But yeah, that drew your attention was Kurt Busch, and what has happened since then? Nothing. Nothing's happened since then. There's been a lot of drivers complaining. Chase Elliott to the likes of Elliott. Harvick has been that. Denny Hamlin's been up there in the comment section of that. So, you know, I mean, for what it is, I think they're really sitting, NASCAR is sitting on their ass right now. Not doing a damn thing. And the fact of the matter is, I said, this NASCAR, this car right now we're having, then it's not ready. It wasn't ready, and maybe it shouldn't be ready. I have no idea what was going on there. And this is a serious topic, and I don't think NASCAR is taking it seriously. Sorry, it is. As a fan, this is what I'm looking at. This is what I'm seeing from the outside in. I haven't seen anything. I haven't read up on anything. All I've read is comment after comment of saying we need to update these cars. Chase Elliott even took it a step further, saying we're back where we started. You know, we ain't done a damn thing. So this is on you. It's on NASCAR. The fact of the matter is, you're putting drivers at risk, and now you're going to Talladega where it could get worse than that. It could get very much worse. A friend of mine in the group chat, I forgot what she said, but you know, she said, probably not going to rush the race. It's probably going to get, the war hit's going to get worse. I'm putting it in a matter of speaking there. So, man, I mean, fact of the matter is that we're talking about safety issues again. Definitely is concerning. In fact, they need to get on this ASAP. All the smart, they have all the brains in there. Rodney Childress spoke out. Crew chief for Kevin Harvick. On the NASCAR side, all the brains and bronze, and we can't put anybody up on this ASAP. I mean, that's pretty sad. I mean, they're slacking. Y'all are slacking on it, NASCAR. And It's what they say, right? What's that saying, right? It's going to get worse before it gets better. Well, we've reached that point with the Cup Series and all the safety stuff, because right now you're putting a playoff driver trying to get to the championship. This is taking a big hit for Alex Bowman. I feel bad for him. Greg Ives took fault for it. There's nothing Greg Ives could have done there. This is one of the sports that you can do out of control. I mean, you're out of mercy of the other guys around you, and or even the car, even your own car for that matter. There's nothing you could have done there. You can't be hard on yourself on that. But you want to be hard on someone, be hard on NASCAR for waiting too long, not being proactive when it should have been proactive, when the whole Kurt Busch situation, or even you can go even further than that, maybe. To check out the race cars. I mean, it's just that plain and simple there. Take action. That's what you have to do. And right now, NASCAR, you're not taking action. Y'all letting this shit happen. And this is where we are right now with the safety situation. And two drivers are out. Kurt Busch can't compete in the playoffs after the win at Kansas because of him hitting hard at Pocono. Then they should have did testing there. They should have looked at it then. I mean, what the hell is going on? I don't know. When Kurt Busch checked that he was in the concussion protocol, right there, NASCAR just said, "Look, we're gonna take a look at it. We're gonna bring that car to the R&D center and do a deeper dive into it." Nope, I ain't read nothing. I ain't seen nothing on Twitter about that. Okay, so now fast forward to October. Well, really September, where Alex Bowman, this news about Bowman and the concussion protocol really snuck up on me here. Very, very stunned. Here, he was feeling it, and the fact of the matter is, Alex Bowman's in the playoffs. He's not going to get a chance to probably move on, obviously, because, yeah, he's not even going to start the race. Noah Gregson, who's been in the 16 for Colleague Racing, part-time throughout the year, will take Alex Bowman's place today in that 48, and he qualified pretty good. Well, obviously, because Hendrick Motorsports, you know, are going to be bringing it as far as Speedway goes, but this is BS right here. You take a playoff contender out of it, or really a championship contender out of the mix, and probably is going to eliminate him from the playoffs, again, unless something wacky, really wacky happens between now and then. In next week, but just unacceptable by NASCAR for sure. NASCAR, you better get your shit together. That's for sure. Or it's gonna be even worse than it is right now. We have to step aside real quick here, boy. We're getting gloves off and everything on this podcast. When we come back off, I haven't even mentioned we're what. Let me see here. Ooh, we're way into this thing and no break yet. I ain't even mentioned the winner of the Texas race in the Cup Series, which was a non-playoff driver. He got eliminated from the playoffs. Now he's a non-playoff driver. That is Tyler Reddick getting it done yesterday. Or not yesterday. Man, again. Not yesterday, but last week at Texas there, holding off Joey Logano, who is still in the playoffs there. So, giving the non-playoff drivers 4 wins in the 2022 NASCAR playoffs, while the playoff drivers continue to go with no wins at all. Unbelievable stat, and it could continue today. It definitely could happen. It could continue today with the non-playoff drivers getting the victory line. There's a good chance that the playoff drivers, the playoff drivers are going to be 0-5 because, you know, it's a rarity. The Xfinity, what we saw in the Xfinity series yesterday, that's rarity. I don't expect that. I don't expect the same thing happening in the Cup Series because, you know, the Cup Series, the drivers lose their minds after stage 2 and they'll go bonkers and everything. And even pay attention to the stage 1 or 2 because you're going to get a wreck that you don't expect. It always happens in these races. For instance, the Daytona season finale, right? Ryan Blaney trying to fight to get into the playoffs. He wrecks where he's involved in a wreck. And then, of course, you know, Mark Trest Jr. in the final stage gets in a wreck there, and everything just cuts loose. So, going back to the whole safety issue, speaking of that, yeah, Denny Hamlin, that same race, the Daytona season finale, hard contact. He was shot the racetrack hard into the turn one wall. He was feeling the effects of that. So he was fortunate to still be racing. He could have missed Darlington for that matter. So the fact of the matter is, NASCAR, they ain't doing shit. They're not looking at these race cars close enough. They're not doing a deeper dive into to this and that at all. So yeah, I'm putting them under the bus because look, we've reached a point. The fact of the matter is, we reached the point that this is getting out of hand. Everybody's not happy on my Twitter feed. All the fans are pleading out. What are you going to do? Stop playing around. Stop messing around and do something. Stop it. Right now. We'll take a timeout. We'll be back. In Indianapolis, 3.0, Tyler Reddick gets it done. Third win of the season last week at Texas Motor Speedway in the 2022 playoffs. Start of round 12, Eddie Greer for the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Episode 316 of this podcast. Trucks, Xfinity, Cup, 3 Miss Divisions, and all of NASCAR. Joey Logano led the playoff drivers in the second spot, comes up short. Reddick pulled away there in Indianapolis 3.0. And if you don't know what I mean by that, Indianapolis had the same thing happen to them with all the tire issues and whatnot going back, like, 10 years ago, something like that, with whole Carl Edwards and all that other stuff, that which really shit the bed with the Indianapolis the tradition, because that race was a mess. Every caution, every 20 laps, all that, that really screwed up that race, that historic race, or you want to say that crown jewel, which is now the Indianapolis Road Course. So, man, I'm on the road this morning on the podcast, man. I'm fired up because, man, it is something else. One thing after another, and now you bring back, again, it's all about this stupid racetrack, Texas. I mean, who in their right mind decided to mess up the racetrack? The head, the president of this racetrack? I mean, what do we do? No, this is just, nah, no. And the fact of the matter, I'm glad the Austin race is not back over there anymore, because the fact of the matter is, doesn't really pull on the shit, doesn't really do anything. And who in the right mind wants another mile and a half super speedway track? Get that out of here. You got three of these now. We're not doing mile and a half super speedway tracks. You got three of them. Dude, let's not mess up the cookie cutter tracks. Don't do it. Do not do it. I'm not a big fan of that. I definitely have that out there. You have Atlanta now for that. Now you're playing with fire there. I don't know. I'm not a big favor of that. I like what early on this year, right? Atlanta was converted over the summer after the last race into this type of track where the track was starting to deteriorate and get into pieces like that. So they had to repay the track. Not only that, you had to rebank the track into that style of track there. So I'm not a big fan of that. You could have left that alone. You could have left that alone and repaved it, but we all know the repaves suck. So they converted the racetrack, and now what it is now, you're basically on your toes. Every lap, you got people battling, super speedway, Atlanta style, and things like that, right? So you got that. You don't need turn Atlanta. You don't need to turn Texas, was already crappy in that style track. You don't need to turn Kansas into that. No, I don't like it. I just don't. You got enough of that going on. So you just can't do it. You just want enough. One of those racetracks is plenty, and you're already turning the Cali Auto Club back into its original plan. It will be a short track. So I did learn that on a podcast. So the Teardown podcast. So yeah, there's that as well. So you don't need it. Yeah, the people who are in charge of Texas screwed that racetrack up big time. And the tire, whatever what happened with Goodyear and all that other stuff, tires and all that other stuff, then you should take the blame on that as well. For what it's worth, Ryan Blaney finished fourth. Chase Briscoe finished into the fifth spot. I'm bouncing around to the playoff positions now. William Byron finished in the seventh spot. Kyle Larson ninth. Denny Hamlin finished 10th. Denny Hamlin adding William Byron to the list once again of drivers to pay back at some point later. He already paid back Chastain. I mean, that's kind of gone behind closed doors. Well, not like figuratively, but that has sunk behind the closed doors there. So everyone's been quiet on that front. But this is the latest Denny Hamlin feud with William Byron this time. So yeah, apparently, what was NASCAR doing? What are you looking at? Is on the front, this happened on the front stretch. All right, let me do this first. We're going to get real off the rest real quick. Suarez finished 12th. Speaking of Ross Chastain, he finished 13th. Last Sunday, Austin Cindric finished 15th. Chase Elliott. Speaking of Chase Elliott, man, he's had a bad week. at least on the racing front, anyways. He finished 32nd. And then, again, for good reasons, complained to NASCAR about the safety. There, Christopher Bell, who starts on the pole this afternoon. He finished 34th in this race. He spun out like 100 times last week. What a rough day for Christopher Bell, and he bounced back by starting on the pole for today's race here. I can go two different things here on the podcast. Let's see. Now I gotta go back and redo it again. But yeah, Christopher Bell, he was the worst of the playoff drivers last week, and he's the first so far. He'll lead the field of green this afternoon in Alabama. Yeah, back to Byron and Hamlin real quick. Yeah, this started on the back stretch there. Mark Trish Jr. was leading at the time. And, of course, he had his. It was his turn to have tire issues. But anyways, Byron and Hamlin were going at it there. And Hamlin, I guess, ran William Byron up the wall off of turn two, that wicked turn two. Then a few laps later, Carson comes out again for Truex, hitting the wall, unfortunately, while leading. We saw this with Harvick, 30 minutes late before Truex had his unfortunate moment there. And then William Byron wrecks Hamlin, spins him out under caution flag. They did not see it at the time. Now, since then, NASCAR has righted that ship a little bit. If there's any little bit of positive about NASCAR on this podcast today, but they penalized William Byron. So Byron took a hit in the playoffs as well. Look, you have national TV looking at this. How can you not miss it? I have no idea. We're too paying attention to 19 spinning off of turn 3, turn 4. Get the hell out of here. You have plenty of guys in the booth who are looking at the full racetrack. How can you not see that? How can you not see Denny Hamlin spinning off the bumper? And you had multiple replays. USA was seeing it, was showing this 10, 15 times. How can you not see that? I don't know. Scott Miller, I don't get me started there. But yeah, this is just another bad look on NASCAR. You miss, which the original penalty for William Byron should have been tail end of the line. You cannot spin a car out on the caution. And you miss it. You have 100 people up in that booth, in that big old booth at Texas Motor Speed, excuse me. And it is bad. It is really bad. You miss it. It's right on the front stretch. How do you not miss William Byron? And his in-car played it. How can you not see it? Man, NASCAR took an L on that. Takes an L, big L on safety. L on not seeing that. So, wow. This season's going in the wrong direction in a hurry. And I am not excited to see what happens next. Talladega, this might be, well, anything. I think yet last week's, the bubble has bursted. Officially. Because you can't miss that type of stuff. I think you should take away 1,000 points from NASCAR for missing that. You just can't do it. You just cannot do it. And the fact of the matter is, Ty Gibbs, once again, for all the good he's done, he does absolutely stupid putting a crew member in danger by just sideswiping contact with Ty Dillon on pit road. Oh my goodness. So, for all what it is, Ty Gibbs should have got penalized for that. I think he did. I'm not 100% sure on that. I didn't really see anything on that, but I'm pretty sure he did. But if not, then that's shame on NASCAR as well. Safety first there. And what is Ty Gibbs thinking? I don't know. But you're gonna get these from him. From him from time to time now. You expect this kind of behavior. But in theory, this should not have happened. You gotta be smarter than that, Ty Gibbs. Sorry. I got a laundry list of who I'm putting three wide. And NASCAR, definitely putting y'all three wide this week. What are we doing? I don't know. I don't know. Before somebody seriously gets hurt in somebody's career. I mean, that's just not going to happen. The whole Hamlin situation got feuded there with Byron spinning him out. That should have been a penalty for sure. Denny Hamlin, Chris Gabehart, wanted a penalty, didn't get it. Sounds like watching a football game. Your favorite team doesn't get a penalty. They're complaining about it. Yeah, you take a big L on that one, NASCAR. Sorry. I mean, this is coming from a fan. This is coming from a fan perspective here, and I'm sure I'm not speaking for myself here. I'm speaking for mostly everybody here, and they need to get called out on. That is what it is. Sorry. And Ty Gibbs, yeah, you're right there as well. Again, Ty Gibbs. What are you doing? I mean, you're supposed to stay out of the mix. You're supposed to stay away from headlines, not go into them. I mean, what are you doing? The camera, your replay, see it right here. People, I don't, drivers, I mean, yes, you flip the switch. You're a different person when you're in the car, but some things you just got to be very mindful of. And that right there, Ty Gibbs running Ty Dillon late, that just can't happen on pit road. And endangering other people doing that. Yeah, putting you three wide as well, Ty Gibbs. Sorry, that's can't do it. And I'm thinking of one more other thing. Yeah, yesterday saw a crew member going after a tire. He had to be thrown out of. He had to be ejected from the premises. There, man. I mean, I actually appreciate the effort there. But again, with these loose wheels and everything else, you get a loose wheel, you're ejected. So I don't know. I mean, and that tire went all the way to the front stretch grass yesterday. That's very unfortunate for that gentleman right there. So, man, this is weird stuff going on. And the fact of the way is, I think NASCAR right now is going in the wrong direction. As far as, you know, being safe in a race car goes. I mean, they have not been proactive. Kevin Harvick pleading to NASCAR about checking these things out. They ain't done a damn thing. Otherwise, we would have saw it. We would have read something about it, right? Am I not right? Hello? Yeah. So I don't know. It's just, to me, I would have saw it. I would have read it. And I would have read it if NASCAR would have done something and take these cars back to the R&D center. They take the winning in second place or second, third place cars to R&D center for the evaluation. They take Jeremy Kmet's winning Daytona car for further inspection. And they fine him and dock him. And originally, he was going to miss the playoffs because of it. But the 51 team appealed it and it got overturned. So if you can check out winning Jeremy Kmet's car, sure as hell you can try and survey Kurt Busch's Pocono wreck. You can survey Alex Bowman's hit or car, whatever the matter of fact is. It's mind-boggling that NASCAR has all this money, all this technology, and once again you're sitting on your freaking hands not doing a damn thing. So I can go longer and longer on this. This is not a good look. Not a good look on NASCAR's part whatsoever. What am I trying to do here? I'm trying to pull up the standings here real quick here before we put this thing in the garage, because it's going to get really worse here. The 3Y NASCAR Podcast EG3, episode 316 here with you guys here. We're going to step aside real quick and end this with the standings.
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3. Listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
The playoff driver still scoreless or winless in the 2022 playoffs, Eddie Greer, for the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, episode 316, about to come to a close on a heated podcast today. For you guys here, is recording on race day, October 2nd, 2022, ahead of the Cup Series race, playoff race in Talladega. Okay, so now, take a look at this now. So, Joey Logano, Ross Chastain, Kyle Larson, Ryan Blaney. So, if you go under Joey Logano, 25 from 2nd to 10th. Really tight in here. Chris Rebell is going to have to do something this afternoon. If he's going to get back in it. 25 out, but that could change in a big time heartbeat here. Alex Bowman, the big news of the week by far, other than a crappy Texas race, sitting out, concussion protocol, will not race. So this is gonna likely take him out advancing. Again, unless something really, really, really wacky happens at the Roval, then Alex Bowman's championship hopes are done in 2022. Chastain, Larson, Blaney, Denny Hamlin, Daniel Suarez, Chase Elliott, regular season champ, sitting at 7th, Chase Briscoe. It is a tie right now between him and Austin Cindric, again with these ties at the cut line. So there you go. So Cindric, Briscoe, again, all, if you could get stage points out of here at a Talladega this afternoon, that could go a long way of putting you, advancing you to the next round. So Cindric is first one out. Byron lost all those points. And because he got penalized after the race was over, he is out of a trainer spot right now. He is 8 out, but not that far out. Christopher Bell, and I'm not going to comment on Bowman because we are our established stat on this podcast, but Christopher Bell, he's going to go out and make a lot of points up if he's going to do something. But 25 up, he starts on the pole. So we'll see what happens there. Again, with, you know, I'm not going to go with this starting lineup because it's really a moot point. It's all going to change for what it is. But I am going to do the top 10 here real quick, though. Christopher Bell, Kyle Larson, Denny Hamlin, Eric Almirola, Chase Briscoe, your top 5 this afternoon. Ross Chastain, Noah Gregson, Tyler Reddick, William Byron, and Ty Gibbs starts in the top 10 there. So we'll see what happens today. I mean, you have to, again, the big ones, I don't expect the same thing. What happened in the Xfinity Series race yesterday? I don't expect that to happen in the Cup race today. That's just, a lot's on the line. All the drivers are going to get greedy, and we'll see. And I'm going to go on a limb and saying the playoff drivers ain't going to win this one either. That's probably, I think that's a good bet. I think that's something to bet on, actually, because of the fact that you can't win any others. I think this is in danger of no playoff drivers winning at the halfway mark after today's race down there. But we'll see what happens today. Obviously, I came on here and established what was going on. I'm sure I'm missing a couple other things, but that's really what we want to hit on today on this podcast, the safety of these cars. Of these cars of this year are going the wrong direction. That's just what I'm calling what it is. And until then, it's gonna be must stay tuned news from here to throughout the rest of the playoffs and in the off season. They better show up real quick before 2023 arrives, for that's for sure. But the Cup Series playoffs continue. This will go out here. I'm hoping it'll go out here. An hour and a half away from the green flag here. Again, let me check the schedule. We'll see what time that is. It's NBC. Yeah, that's going to be just after noon. Again, I'm going to put weather pending in here just in case. But, yeah, it should be okay. But noon, actually, no. 2 o'clock Eastern Time, 1 Central Time, folks, for the Yellowwood 500. We'll see what happens here. It's going to be... It's like a lotto pick, baby. Who's going to come out of here with the checkered flag? Who's going to escape the big wrecks? Who will not? And we're going to be setting this picture for the Roval on next week's podcast, the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcast, folks. That is going to do it on another edition of the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. You fired up EG3 today on this podcast. Again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys again for tuning in and downloading and subscribing to this podcast. If you're not already, folks, definitely make sure you subscribe to the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. Make sure you tell a fellow racing friend who loves NASCAR about this podcast. We will talk to you guys again next week. Congratulations to Tyler Reddick on winning the Cup Series race last week, and Matt DiBenedetto and... Oh, I can't blame blinking. AJ Allmendinger on getting their respective wins yesterday in the Cable World Truck Series Xfinity Series doubleheader. Later on this afternoon, who will bring home the bacon at Talladega?
for listening to the 3 Wide Podcast with EG3. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your sports podcasts. Spotify, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and more. We'll talk to you next time, going 3 Wide.